Sean for breakfast, Esperance at 747 Triple M. And every Monday we like to catch up with Barry Urquhart from Marketing Focus. He is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to business and marketing. And today we want to talk about our businesses and their boards. Barry Urquhart, how are you this morning?
Sean, I'm exceedingly well, thank you.
Now, forgive me for my ignorance, but I'm not very business savvy when it comes to big, large companies. What is the role of a board? This might seem obvious to a lot of people, but for me, I'm not even sure. What does a board of directors do? What is the CEO's role and how do they work together?
Okay, it's a very, very good question. And of course, it's a question that is under close review at the moment because a lot of people believe that boards have got the wrong focus and more particularly, they've got the wrong composition. Many people believe that boards are there to oversee, guide, direct, and reaffirm the charting of directions determined by the senior management, the managing director in particular. And so consequently, the composition of many boards is made up of bankers, accountants, lawyers, and funds managers. But of course, with that, there's an innate reflection of financial prudence and risk management. In short, making sure that you can sustain your viability and cash flow to be able to be there tomorrow to continue on. So it's about continuity. What seems to be lacking at the moment in the minds of many people, and part of the reason why many businesses in Australia at the moment are going into liquidation or are losing their competitive edge and are on the back foot with the intrusion of interlopers like Amazon and the like, is that to a large extent there is a decided lack of strategic direction. And so it's a finite point. Are we there to reflect, to review and to ensure continuity, or are we to give vision and leadership? And therein lies the dilemma.
So if you have someone that's on the board, though, and they haven't had any experience in the business, you're saying they're lawyers or people that are quite affluent, how are they going to direct the company or provide good advice if they haven't any experience?
That is the recurring theme of much criticism about the boards. Let's take Solomon Liu with Myer. He says part of the reason why Myer has lost 95% of its share market value and it's contracting in relevance, sales and overall profitability is that there's no street smarts of having people on the board who've got the art of retailing. And so you've got people who are able to take a spreadsheet, analyze the data, look at the bottom right-hand corner and say, what is the internal rate of return? So you're seeing the consequences of what's happening with the dynamics of business, not really understanding and more particularly driving that business forward. So what Solomon Liu and many of his peers would be saying is that what you need is a balance between the conservatism and reflective nature of some people with the disciplines of law, of accounting, of banking and funds management, to what are the skills and expertise of that particular discipline, whether it's going to be engineering, whether it's going to be retailing, or whether it's going to actually be radio announcing.
Well, why can't they write into the charter that you need to have a minimum, let's say, 20% of board members that have had some experience in that business or the industry of that business? Why couldn't they do that?
Well, unfortunately, that's being very, very prescriptive. And then you have the dynamics of one, geographic isolation. You've got the uniqueness of industry. And more particularly, think about this. So you write legislation. You write legislation and regulations 20 years ago. You would have had no reference at all about social media, digital marketing, and all that type of situation. So the very dynamics of society is changing. And I think this is a very pertinent point that you make. Everyone talks about change, but they don't seem to understand the quantum nature and the rapidity of that change. And that is to a key point why boards should be there on the front foot rather than on the back foot and reflecting of how we've gone in the past. They should be orienting themselves to where are we going into the future.
But it's hard because you've already said, I mean, these lawyers and these people who, you know, have done quite well, they're traditionally conservative. So how do you get them to get into change when that's not in their nature?
Well, I think we've got to break up the old boys network and the school network and the university club sort of orientation of you hand out directorships to those who you know well and feel comfortable with. I think what we need to do is to go out to be bold, daring and different and start to have that type of situation. Look at Wesfarmers. It started in York over 100 years ago. It was a farming cooperative. The biggest number of shareholders numerically within Wesfarmers today, a publicly listed company, are still predominantly West Australian farmers. But let's have a look. They are no longer into really rural sort of activities. They are into retail, they're into mining, they're into energy, they're into anything but. And so consequently, you actually have to have someone on the board who's reflecting the dynamics of where the business is and where it's going. And if you haven't got some sense of where it's going, it's very hard to recruit the skills, expertise, and more importantly, assign the resources to be able to capitalize on the potential that lies before you.
Oh, it certainly must have its challenges. If you've got a business like Wesfarmers, which has its finger in so many pies, you need someone that knows those pies. You know, you need someone that has all the experience across the great breadth of different businesses that they have, right? So how is that possible?
Well, let me take it back to 1983. Many people listening to this program would have rushed out, as many Australians and people around the world did, a sum total of about 8.25 million people, rushed out and bought a book called In Search of Excellence. It was by Tom Peters and Bob Waterman Jr. They were consultants by the Boston Consulting Group. And they were talking about what makes a really great company. And of course, they started to learn that what you need to do is, and here's the key phrase, stick to the knitting. Wesfarmers today is the exception rather than the norm. There are very few conglomerate organizations that are a mix of businesses. What they're starting to be inclined to be, LR BHP, the big Australian, it's no longer BHP Billiton, it's no longer the orientation into all and sundry of fracking and oil and that sort of thing. They're coming back to be predominantly a mining company. And so the skills and expectations of what people will be developing is very much innate in your question. Well, why can't they do it? Well, I think a lot of businesses are starting to recognize the virtues of knowing what it is. And so businesses in Esperance, are we a rural community? Are we a tourist community? Are we going to go into kind of wheat? Are we going to go into sheep? Are we going to go into cattle? Or is there going to be some other skills or expertise that we need to develop? And you can't just have some university graduates out of New Zealand at Massey University coming over as farm management consultant and you say, you're it. You, he, she, or they can go onto our board, because that may not be the future of that particular entity in the southeast of Western Australia into the future 3, 5, or 7 years hence.
So I think you were mentioning it a little bit before, you alluded to it before, what makes a good board member? But just for anyone that's out there and has aspirations of wearing a suit and sitting around a table and talking about these big decisions for a company, what would you recommend makes a really good board member?
If you want to apply to be a board member, you've got to recognize that you will be accountable, you will be transparent, you will need to spend a lot of time, and above all else, you need to know the business. And ideally, you need to have exposure to the people, because they're looking for you to provide leadership. And so what you should be doing is take pause, look at the composition of the board and say, can I complement it? Now, interestingly enough, the Franchise Council of Australia, that's a board organization of a sector group. Now, I'm told over half of their board members are lawyers. Now, if you need expertise in law, you need one lawyer, you need one accountant, and you probably need one banker. You don't need a preponderance of the skills repeated multiple times. So what you need to do is be selective in what board you have and then determine what is it that I am able to contribute given my training, my education, my skills, expertise, and my particular bias to what I want to drive. And then you will be an addition and a positive addition to the and there comes the key phrase of a board, of the deliberations of the board, which will make the decisions that will endorse the decisions and the directions being charted by senior management and the managing director in particular.
One final question, Barry. What is scarier than a room full of lawyers? Tell me that.
Look, I have had the pleasure of working with a legal practice, and the managing partner, as it was at that stage, said, Barry, this is a different organisation. than you've ever worked with before. You've got to understand we are a living, breathing organism. I said, no, that's the nature of all businesses, and this is about the culture. It was one of the most edifying experiences that I ever had. They asked whether I would write their mission statement. Now, this is what we are. This is the essence of what we're about. I reduced it down after a lot of deliberations amongst all their managing partners, their senior lawyers, and their lawyers, and I determined it in two sentences. We were called into a meeting, and I participated passively for 4 hours as they went through and dissected two sentences and could not agree that it was the right sort of word. So two sentences, 4 hours, and they couldn't come to conclude whether it was right or wrong. So the art of English and their command of the English language is that, because it's the old adage, I didn't say you stole the money. 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 Now, there you are. One word, seven different interpretations, because I put a different emphasis on a different word to have a different meaning, and there is the essence of the law.
And a handful of lawyers to deliberate it for hours on end. Two sentences in 4 hours. I'm glad we can cover more information in our little brief chat. I've been speaking to Barry Urquhart from Marketing Focus. It's been a pleasure as always, Barry.
Sean, at least we came to a conclusion.
Oh, that was a fun one. That was-